but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Well, it's not every day that you get to welcome back a franchise legend. And that's what the Blazers get a chance to do with Damian Lillard. He'll be introduced again as the latest member of the Portland Trail Blazers in a press conference tonight. We'll, of course, talk a lot about that and reset some of that audio on tomorrow's show. Welcome back, Bald-Faced Truth, 750 The Game, and the BFT Radio Network. Judah Newby here with you in downtown Portland. And really excited to bring our next guest on, Devon Pouncey, former host here at 750 as well. He's the podcast host of the Wake Up and Win podcast, which is such a good listen. Love the energy and love the vibes that he brings there. And the dude knows ball. I mean, he is an official ball knower, analyst with Portland State Men's Basketball, Rip City Remix, and he joins us on the Zoom line right now. Pounce, what's up, man? How are you?
Man, always good to be home, man. A lot of people don't know I'm also a BFT alum, to go on with all the other descriptions, if you will, man. Got my start on this very show as a young intern. What was that, 8 or 9 years ago now?
Wow, dude.
And you know, you were my like direct supervisor, because I was a production intern and you were the producer of the show. And so good to be here all of these years later, you know, knowing that the BFT is still up and running. My guy Judah still hanging in over there at 750. Man, it's all love. Happy to be here.
I think hanging in is a good way to put it, man. It's a good way to put it. Full disclosure, I called you last week. I was like, dude, the Dame news. And you were like, yeah, bring me on the show as soon as you can. So Monday pops on and you're coming on. But I got to get your take. When the Dame news broke, what went through your head?
To be honest with you, what went through my head was community. And that's because I've been able to be around Dame in like different capacities. Obviously, you know, I was around the entire time during his first stint as a Portland Trailblazer, which was many years, more than a decade. He spent some time away, you know, during season playing with the Milwaukee Bucks, but also he still spent some time here, particularly in the off seasons. His family, you know, a lot of his family still all have been located here as well. And I just think this was yet another win for the community. And this is a community that deserved to have a win like that and has been seeing more wins. I mean, you think about some of the more recent news. You got WNBA coming to Portland. You got the franchise all-time leading scorer coming back to Rip City. And so the first thing I actually thought about, aside from the basketball, was his community impact around here. And you can feel the adoration when that news broke from everybody in unison, just happy that he's back because he means so much to the city of Portland.
Now, from what I understand and reading, you've actually been around the guy relatively recently, right? What has that been like?
It's cool, man. I mean, obviously, you know, we're talking about him in a basketball capacity, but he's also known as Dame Dalla. He's a musical artist. Again, being in community, he really shows up for the music scene out here in this market. And so, you know, he does events. I get to DJ some of those events. I'm also a DJ, for those that don't know. And the last couple of summers, I've been able to DJ a lot of events that he's been able to put on and productions he's been producing out here. And so, you know, it's been cool to be around him in that capacity, as well as both music lovers, but obviously him as a basketball legend and me as just a guy that loves the game of basketball. So it's been real cool. And like I said, the vibes have been great every time I've been able to be around him in that capacity. And he always just, his energy is always on point, being around the people he loves and then also being here in Portland around the community that he loves as well.
How's he walking? How's he moving around?
He's getting around. He's got some time. He's still got some recovering to do. You know what I mean? So that's obviously going to take his time. So don't be excited to try and see him on the court too soon. Don't rush him. For those out there that like to put pressure on the franchise, don't rush him back. Let him really enjoy his recovery time. I mean, he's still out here working out and training, right? Even in the midst of recovery, because he's just wired that way. I don't think he knows any other way than to grind, and obviously it's paid dividends off for him over the course of his career, but still plenty of time before you actually see him on the court playing a basketball game.
Devon Pouncey, the Wake Up and Win podcast. How many episodes have you ripped through now, Pounce?
300. A few weeks ago, we hit episode 300, which is real cool because the podcast started right there in that building over at Alpha Media. Recorded episode 1 back in those days when I was doing radio and working at the station, and I've just kept the ball rolling ever since. You know, even amongst the ebbs and flows of navigating the industry and going from job to job within the industry, one thing that's been a constant in my career has been the Wake Up and Win podcast. So grateful that we've been able to get this far. I think we've been able to document some real cool, rich history over those 300 episodes. And let's see if we can hang in there for 300 more, eh?
Dude, that's phenomenal. Can you take me back to the ethos, to the inspiration of it? And the name itself, I do think, epitomizes what you're trying to accomplish with that, with the Wake Up and Win. How'd you come up with that name?
Yeah, it's an intersectional podcast. So, you know, I know it's not particularly everybody's greatest of topics to want to delve into, which is the intersection of politics and sports. You know, you have some people who really adore that kind of coverage, and then you have other people that want to separate those two things as far as they can. For me, I felt like the risk was worth taking and that there wasn't enough intersectional coverage being elevated, but the history when it comes to the intersection of sports and politics is super rich. And so, you know, going through my higher education at Pacific University and taking politics and sports classes, and then being able to transition right into the industry, it just felt right for me to do that. And so in the beginning, I would more so interview a lot of people or more of that intersectional front. And then over the course of my career, I've been able to delve in and you know, make a career for myself in both of those spaces. And so it's kind of formed into, I don't want to say a podcast about me, but a podcast about two industries that I'm now pretty experienced in. And so the evolution has been really good from being somebody that was learning from others because I just hadn't had much experience yet in that space, to now being very, very confident and comfortable on speaking on those kinds of topics and issues because I've done the work myself now. And so I can speak to it, you know, from a unique perspective and have a pretty well thought out and experienced POV about the topics that I cover.
Yeah, it's super valuable. I mean, you bring great insights and balance and energy, and I love that. And hey, it's a bit of a star-making show as well. I remember at the beginning when you brought Malika Andrews in studio for one of your early episodes, and now I pop on ESPN and she's all over the place, and that all started
every day. Yeah, man, she was episode 1 of the podcast. A lot of people don't know, while I was interning for this very show, The Bald-Faced Truth, I was actually transitioning out of the internship and into being an employee there, and was trying to get a show there. And the first person that I did a demo with in trying to pitch a show to the execs over at Alpha was Malika Andrews. I just finished up college, and she was like a semester away from finishing college herself. And so, you know, we nervously went into the studios over there at Alpha Media and recorded a demo. And then shortly after that demo was recorded, she's big time, man. She gets a James Reston Fellowship offer from the New York Times. She's obviously got to take that. But she was so cool, and our relationship had become solid to where she's like, you know what? If you want to make this thing a podcast, I'm down to be your first guest. So all those 300 odd some episodes ago, She was the very first guest on the Wake Up and Win podcast. And yeah, now 300 episodes later, she's a superstar.
Pretty awesome, dude. Pretty awesome. Devon Pouncey, Wake Up and Win podcast, also basketball analyst with Portland State Men's Hoops and Rip City Remix as well. Can you imagine, Pounce, if Dame did a rehab assignment with the remix? How about that?
Oh, that would be lovely. He would probably never play a game with us, but maybe. We saw Klay Thompson, you know, play maybe a little bit. I think maybe one game with the Santa Cruz Warriors. But that the place would absolutely erupt if he got his first action back in Rip City, playing in a remix game rather than playing for the Trailblazers. I don't know that it would actually happen that way, but it would sure be cool for me if it did, as the remix analyst.
That would be sweet. I would love to hear some ooh-wees from you with some Dame Lillard highlights with the remix. Let me ask you this, though, because the basketball component is a thing, right? I mean,
sure.
What is the fit with Dame here? Now, I'm personally thinking, look, number one, the problems of 2026, we can leave in 2026. Let's cross that bridge when we get to it. But number two, you know, trying to think a little bit more forward, like, okay, Scoot, Drew, Dame, post-Achilles, 36 years old. Like, what do you think are going to be the expectations for his role in Portland?
I mean, it's hard to project that far out knowing that we still likely have another full season here in Portland before Dame even returns to the court because he's got to rehab from the injury. What I think in the more immediate future, though, is considering that you do have Drew Holiday that's here and will be available this upcoming season. And obviously you have a young Scoot Henderson who's been developing over the last couple of years and has a bright future, I believe, in the league as well, is that for Scoot in particular, and knowing that this team is still a much more younger-leaning team, although they brought a couple of vets along, bringing Dame back and bringing Drew Holiday in, I think this young team, particularly you talk about those three guards, particularly Scoot, can really benefit from being able to have an offensive wizard in Damian Lillard there to support him this upcoming season, and a defensive wizard in Drew Holiday to be able to do the same. And obviously, you know, Drew Holiday is a pretty good, well-rounded player, but most prominently known as one of the all-time great on-ball defenders that the league has ever seen. And so in the more immediate future, I think being able to have so much support in that backcourt from vets like Dame and vets like Drew, and then still having a head coach in Chauncey Billups, who's a Hall of Fame point guard himself, I think this is actually really exciting for Scoot to be able to really, you know, step up, take advantage of yet another year in the league, being that much more experienced, and then having the support of those two guys, Drew more so on the floor this year, but Dame, you know, in the locker room, and really being able to learn from those guys and really try to ascend in ways that many of us expect him to, you know, being such a high draft pick a few years ago.
You know, and I have this debate with Stephen Vaughn here on the show. Stephen's out this week, but we're going back and forth, him and I, and Stephen's like, dude, like the hardest thing for a star player to do in the league is to change his role or adapt to a different role than he's accustomed to being, especially if he's an all-NBA guy, if he's a perennial all-star like Dame Lillard. And from his vantage point, he said it's going to be hard for Dame to come back as anything less than a starting point guard, 36-minute-a-game type of guy. And, you know, I'm kind of speaking for him a little bit on that. But from my vantage point, Pounce, like, I've got a little bit more faith in the guy to adapt to a different role and have a little bit more, you know, circumspectness, self-awareness if needed, if it comes to that. Now, you know, it's kind of, you know, we have another full season, as you point out. But what do you think the likelihood of that is? Or do you think, is that really, I mean, you've played the game too. I mean, how hard is it or how hard would it be for a guy like Dame, if needed, to change the role that he's been so accustomed to playing in the league for so long?
Yeah, I think although he's been accustomed to playing that particular role in the league for so long, I think Dame still comes from pretty humble beginnings. And I think that's why he is who we've come to know over the years, even amidst all the success that he's been able to have over the years. He's always been a humble guy. He's don't get me wrong, he's a dog, obviously, top 75 all time. Like, we know as a competitor, he's wired a unique way. But I also think, like, in his journey, he's experienced so much. You know, on the court, off the court, you name it. And then coming into the league, like, it's, you know, and I got to show love because I'm a Big Sky commentator. Like, Dame comes from the Big Sky Conference. He wasn't this highly touted All-American. He obviously was always a great player, being able to get recruited to play Division I basketball, but he was at a mid-major. And so I think Dame knows how to adjust and adapt wherever it is that he's at. And coming from those humble beginnings, sometimes you don't know all these years down the line how that'll pay off. But I think in a situation like this, it'll ultimately pay off, because I think for him, it's not just about winning. It's about winning in Portland. And I think he's accomplished so many other things over the course of his career that if he can just help in whatever capacity that he can at this point to help this Portland team win, that's what it's all about for him right now. The fame's been there. He's centered in who he is as a star in this league. Obviously, he's been able to earn a lot of money over the years as well. I think now it's all about contributing to winning basketball right here in Portland, and that's the way he wants to probably round his career out.
I do love the sound of that. I heard Kendrick Perkins on ESPN talking. He's like, hey, there's probably no more championship left for Dame Lillard. I mean, maybe, but probably not. His real championship is this, coming back to Portland. And I'm like, I kind of like that. Like, that does kind of make sense to me with Dame's legacy. Devon Pouncey joining us a moment more. Pounce, WNBA coming to Portland. Yeah. I'm excited. We've talked about this offline, too. I mean, this is exciting stuff. Now, there's a CBA that still needs working out for the league and the players.
For sure.
What do you make of it and the vibes coming here with the Portland Fire?
Oh, man, I love it. I love every bit of it. You know, obviously, this is a market that has supported women's sports for quite some time, better than just about any other market. They call it the epicenter of women's sports. So not too many more markets deserving of an expansion team in that league than the city of Portland. I was able to go to the brand launch party last week outside of Moda Center, and you just saw the support out there. It was just unmatched. Like, you know that the community is all in on supporting this team that's coming to town. For me, it's been a cool thing to be able to see unfold, because in the earlier days of organizing and advocacy, I got to work alongside Senator Wyden on the push to try to bring a team here back in, you know, the winter of 2023, when he brought Kathy Engelbert to town, or even prior to that in the fall of 2022, when he was writing letters to Commissioner Kathy Engelbert and Adam Silver, you know, requesting that expansion come to Portland. So to be able to be around back in those days and be able to be in communication with Senator Wyden on that front back then, and now a few years later, here we are preparing for next season to be able to have a team here in Portland. It's been a really, really cool thing to see unfold around these parts.
Now, I know you've got a lot going on, right? You're already calling action for two games, but what's a third, right? You know, we got to get you as the analyst for Portland Fire games.
I wouldn't mind, for sure. You know, I'll obviously, you know, when the time comes, you know, they just got an interim president, and, you know, they're figuring some things out over there as well. But when the time comes, it's summertime. I don't really have any conflicts in terms of broadcasting during the summer, because that's when the W plays. My other jobs are fall, winter sports. But when the time comes, I'll definitely throw my name in the hat. I love calling women's basketball, because I also call college basketball at Pacific University for both men's and women's programs. And so there's no denying that the same passion that I have calling men's games at Pacific University and everywhere else, I apply that same passion calling women's basketball, and haven't called it for going into year 8 now over at Pacific. So I would be all in. I'm somebody who just loves the game, regardless of gender. I can find the purity in the game, and regardless of who's playing. And, yeah, it's definitely a position that I'll throw my name in the hat for when the time comes.
You know, just so everybody knows, we did not talk about this. You know, I just had the idea. I was going to represent you and be your agent, you know, and all this. Not that you need anybody. But I was like, oh, that's too good of a fit. I mean, let's get Pounce in there on those. But and I forgot about Pacific, too. Proud boxer that you are representing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've got a lot of mics, a lot of hats, and DJing music along the way, man. I could go on with you another 20 minutes. We'll have to do it another time soon, but Pounce, it's great to get caught up with you. Thanks for making time for us, and welcome back on the Bald-Faced Truth, where you started all those years ago.
Likewise, my man. Always a pleasure to be here.
Devon Pouncey, you can find him on socials at Pounce_Sation. Just a good, good dude all the way through, and utilizing his talents for the best right now. Talking a little Dame back to Portland with the press conference coming up later tonight. Thanks to Devon for jumping on with us. Judah Newby filling in for John Cadano. Our big splash coming up next. We'll talk some college football with Carter Baines in hour two as well. You've got the Bald-Faced Truth on 750 The Game and the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Network.